Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What are the true teachings of God? Well, let's see the truth of God's plan of transhumanism for us. That's why we've been made in the image of God. And also, that's why Christ came in the flesh to save us. Now, men today, as we've seen, are promising all kinds of fantastic things and extension of life and getting rid of sickness, getting rid of famine, getting rid of starvation, helping us to overcome the weakness of the human mind, giving us greater intelligence through gene splicing, through nanotechnology, through backing up to a computer, boop, and get plugged in every night and download the day's experience. Now, what if it was a bad day? You really want to download that? Of course not. No. All of that is vanity of vanities and does not come from God. God has his own plan, but it has to be revealed to you as we saw last time. And that is through the sonship of God. And what is that? Well, let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter, where we left off on the last segment, and let's see what else it tells us. Because God has a fantastic plan for every single one that will repent, that will love God, that will be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Because, you see, you enter into a covenant of eternal life. That's the important thing. And as we read right here in Romans, the 8th chapter, that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. And God does not give his Spirit to anyone who won't obey him. God does not give his Spirit to anyone who does not love him. God does not give his Spirit to those who do not want to be ruled by God the Father and Jesus Christ. Forget about all of the things that are called Christian in the world. You know why there are so many atheists in the world? Because they look at Christianity and they say, it's stupid. Which in many cases it is. It's superstitious. Which it is. Filled with lies and fables and myths. But they forgot to read the scripture. Anyone who says in his heart that there is no God, he is a fool. So you see, they reject a religion, which God also rejects. But then they reject God because they think God is equal to the religion. And that's not true. So this is why atheists want to have their own humanist agenda. Because, see, they still have minds that think beyond themselves. And they want to live forever. And so that's a counterfeit of God's plan. Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, we want to focus in on sons of God and children of God and how that is going to be accomplished. Because God has a way to do it. And there's no one going to come through that door unless you do it God's way. Isn't going to happen. It's not how you think. It's what you think. It's not how you have an opinion concerning something. It is, what does God say? It's not, oh, I feel good with this. It's, what does God say? What is the true joy of the Lord? Not the joy in counterfeit teachings and sin. Now let's continue. Now we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, again, see, unto fear. Because everyone in this world has the spirit of bondage. They don't have the Spirit of God. Everyone in this world who is led around by the things that Satan teaches in this world have the spirit of this world, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. So you combine it together. Satan the devil, who's the prince of the power of the air, has a spirit power that comes from him to lead the ones who follow him, and that is called the spirit of the world and the spirit of fear unto bondage. Now let's see about the Spirit of God. Continuing verse 15. But you have received the spirit of sonship. Now the King James says adoption. That's not true. God doesn't adopt you. He gives you of his spirit so that you can become his son or daughter. Not adopted. We'll see that in a little bit. Not a pseudo son or pseudo daughter, but a real son and a real daughter, because God created you first in the flesh by his spirit in your mother's womb. And you receive the spirit of man so that you have life. And now you need the spirit of God so you can prepare for eternal life through God's plan of transhumanism. That's why it is the spirit of sonship, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. There are many other scriptures we'll put together with this. For the spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our own spirit. So there you have the spirit of God and the spirit of man combined together. For the Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our own spirit, testifying that we are the children of God, that we love God, we serve God, we hunger for eternal life, we hunger for righteousness and truth. We're developing the character of God, the mind of Christ, and all of these things. Because, you see, true Christianity begins at baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, and then true Christianity is God's way of transforming us into the very image of Christ. Because remember, in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And the New Testament brings the missing ingredient, that we will be after the God kind. Satan has his counterfeit. You follow me, rebel against God, I'll give you all the technology, and you can become God's my way, which leads to death. God says, believe in Christ, repent of your sins, accept his sacrifice as payment for your sins. Be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and become a begotten child of God, waiting the resurrection. But then God expects you to do an awful lot. He expects you to be preparing for eternal life. Now, being a true Christian, which we'll cover a little later, requires a lot of godly work motivated by the Spirit of God. Verse 17. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. Well, what does it mean to be glorified? We'll cover that in just a little bit. So being a true Christian, far different from what the world says. There are going to be things that you're going to have to go through, because God expects you to begin developing the love of God, the hope of God, the faith of God. God expects you, when you are standing in his grace and God has given everything to you, to be transformed from human to divine, that you work at it. It's not a little simple hocus pocus dominocus and bang, you're ready for eternal life. No, you're not. Notice what Paul says here. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Transhumanism, God's way. And you will find out that God's plan leading up to the return of Jesus Christ is going to result in all of those in the first resurrection to save the world under the rulership of Christ and the sons of God. But first, it requires something else. Let's come to Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's see what it requires. And this also talks about transformation. See, everything you hear about transhumanism in the world is a counterfeit of what's in the Bible and leads to the dead end of death. God's way leads to eternal life through the resurrection. We'll see that in a little bit. Romans 12 and verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, we'll talk about your spiritual service at a later time. What does that all include? But notice verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transhumanism by God's method, transformed first in your mind. Let's read that again. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Spirit of God to change it from a hostile, God-rejecting, God-defying, carnal mind, not subject to the laws of God, to a mind of love, and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and faith and self-control against which there is no law. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. See? That we do not conform ourselves to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. Now, the process from baptism and begettal to the resurrection is called Christian growth. And that is conversion. And that is the transformation of your mind, your purpose, your attitude, every thought that you have. That takes time. We'll see that a little bit later. Let's come back here to the first epistle of John. Let's see how fantastic that God's way is. Now remember the well-worn verse of John 3:16. And as a matter of fact, Tim Tebow, he puts little shadow things under his eyes when he plays football, and sometimes he has it John 3:16. Because in his own way, he loves God, but he doesn't know anything about what we're talking about here. He's well-intended. His life is better than most people's lives because he follows some of the things that are in the Bible, but he doesn't know this. Let's read it. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what glorious love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For this very reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world doesn't know it. People come up and say, you know the Lord? Question is, back to the one who asked the question, do you? Verse 2, here's a key. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him exactly as he is. Now, what does that mean? Christ in his glorified form, a spirit being, shining in glory, having all power, for we shall see him exactly as he is. What does that require? Now, John was able to write this because he was one of the three, Peter, James, and John, that Jesus took up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in this vision on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transfigured before them. A preview of what it's going to be like to be in the kingdom of God. A preview of the coming kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns. A preview of those through the Old Testament, the very few that were there, that will be for the first resurrection when Jesus returns. Like King David said, he said, Lord, I will be satisfied when I awake, that is, from my sleep of death, to be in your likeness. Now, Jesus gave the proof of this as to what would happen at the resurrection. Matthew 17, verse 2, And he was transfigured before them, and his face shined as the sun, and his garments became white as light. That's what it's going to be like to be a spirit being. Now, it showed Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus, so that was a vision, because they're dead in their graves. No one goes to heaven, but this is a forerunner, a foretaste by a transfiguration to show them what it would be like. Now, let's come back here to Matthew 13. We're going to be exactly like him, and we will see him as he is. Then we have to have the same glory that Jesus does, and that is part of the transhumanism that God has for man in his plan. What are we going to look like in full glory? Well, Jesus told us. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ears, let him hear. Okay, you have to hear God's way. So we put it all together. For we shall see him exactly as he is. How did Jesus look in the transfiguration? Shined as the sun. How does it say in Revelation, the first chapter, that he looked? His face shined like the sun in its full strength. Now, let's see the promise given to us in 2 Peter, the first chapter. And Peter, he was the one who was on the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John. So he knew what he was talking about. Now let's see how he introduces the first chapter of 2 Peter. And it will also show us that there are things that we need to do in order to be ready for that final transfiguration, that final transhumanism, or that final transformation. Let's pick it up in verse 3, 2 Peter, the first chapter. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. Quite a statement, isn't it? Think about what all that says. If you come to God and you are drawn by God and you answer the call, it's by God's divine power. Now, if at any time you reject God, that can be withdrawn. But you see, it's not what we know as human beings or what scholars understand or scientists understand. It's what God has revealed through his word. And his word is only understood if you're willing to obey it, if you're willing to love God, if you're willing to believe him, if you're willing to trust in him. Let's read on. Through which he has given to us the greatest and most precious promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't that fantastic? God has given to those who love him the greatest promises, that we can be partakers of the divine nature, a spiritual mind, a spiritual body, in full accord and living with God. Now, how's that going to take place? Let's come back here to Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 20. But for us, the commonwealth of God exists in heaven, from where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to return. Now notice, verse 21, remember what we saw there in Romans, the 12th chapter, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now here it comes to the time of the resurrection, who will transform our vile bodies, that they may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Transhumanism, God's way. Now, how is that going to be done? Going to be done through the power of the resurrection. But you cannot be resurrected unless you have had the Spirit of God, unless you're growing and overcoming, unless you are yielding to God and building the character of God, and you use that Spirit of God knowing that it's developing the divine character in you. See, God wants the character first. So that's why you receive the Holy Spirit of God. Then you can have the powers of being a son or daughter of God in full glory. Now that's God's plan. We're going to see next time exactly how he is going to carry this out. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, where we have thousands of sermons, Bible studies, full of tremendous things you can study. You want to know about God? You want to know about the Lord? Well, you get this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, and then you start going through all of the studies we have on cbcg.org. And you are going to find it is the truth, the Scripture, the truth, the Scripture, all the way through. No politics, no teachings of men, no traditions of men, but God's way and God's way alone. Now be sure and write for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? Listen, this is vital, important information that you need to act upon if you want to get your life right with God the way he wants it. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.